Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan Red Hawk McPherson, and I'm absolutely thrilled to tell you we're broadcasting once again here in Sandy Springs studio from the Regis Executive Suites. As a reminder, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter at Business Radio X. And today we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. You can also follow me personally on Twitter at Ryan Red Hawk, and all tweets and comments are welcome there. And just a reminder again to make sure you have liked us on Facebook. You can leave your thoughts and comments as well as see all of the photos of our in-studio guests. And now it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to the Business Radio X flagship studio two great, exciting guests. First, Mr. Landel Hobbs. How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you this morning?
I'm great. And you are here to talk about the 4-H Council. Is that right?
Absolutely. Great organization.
And how long have you been with the organization?
Almost 6 years now.
6 years. And for what I was looking last night on the website, that it's the, one of the largest, if not the largest, organizations out there that reaches to the youth.
It is. In the U.S., it's the largest professional youth development organization in the country, reaching right at 6 million kids today. Yeah. Here's also what's an incredible fact, because 4-H has been around longer than 100 years, 25 million alumni.
That's amazing.
That's a staggering statistic.
Yeah, and those alumni probably come from all cross sections of life.
All parts of the country.
Yes, sir. Well, great. We'll look forward to hearing more about that and also a little bit about your background and how you're continuing to change the world here in Atlanta, Georgia. But let's also introduce to the Business Radio X studio, Sarah Gibson from Cell Phone Repair Atlanta. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing great, Ryan. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. You are the marketing and sales director. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And how long have you been with the organization?
Officially, probably just about a couple of months. Unofficially, you know, it is a family business, mm-hmm. and I am a part of family, so I've been there since the beginning. So about 10 years now.
Well, let's take everybody back to the beginning. The beginning for you, the beginning for the company. Let's start there. How did the CPR Atlanta come to be?
CPR Atlanta was originally a franchise that started down in Orlando, Florida. Kent Spears, my future father-in-law, he actually knew the guy that started it, and he was offered an opportunity to open a franchise up here in Atlanta. So he brought both his kids with him and said, hey, we're going to start a business, and mm-hmm. came to Sandy Springs right when we start getting incorporated and just blew up from there.
So the first location was in Sandy Springs.
Yes, sir.
And then where did you grow from there?
We went to Tucker. Right off of La Vista Road. Mm-hmm. And then we also went up to Kennesaw off of Wade Green.
And so you have three locations now?
Three locations now. We're looking into maybe opening up a fourth one over Marietta. We're still batting around mm-hmm. that idea right now.
So. When you're looking at opening a new location, what are those factors you like to look at to decide on which part of town to go to?
Well, like with any business, you want to look at the demographics of the area, see what the regular income is there, and then see how many cell phone stores there are around. So if there are a lot of AT&T and T-Mobile stores in a cluster nearby, it's a great place for us to go because people usually go to their cell phone providers in order to see how they can fix their phone, what's their best option, this, that, and the third. And a lot of those cell phone stores actually refer people to us to help with their customer retention now.
I recently saw a statistic that there's over 5 billion cell phones in the world right now. There's only 4 billion toothbrushes. So there's more people with cell phones out there today than there are doing dental hygiene. So, but it's just growing from there. So here in Atlanta, I know there's a big market for that, you know, the business community, you know, the personal use. What does your typical customer look like over there at CPR?
Just your everyday person. We've got the moms that are trying to run from dropping their kids off and dropping their phone at the same time, mm-hmm. picking up groceries to, you know, the CEOs of giant companies. We work with TBS. We do all their repairs because their employees don't have time to stop what they're doing. So we pick up phones for them and just repair them and turn them back in.
You'll go to the business location, pick up all the needed cell phones for repair, bring them back to your office there, do the work, and then take them back to the business.
Yes, we do.
That's great.
We do the same thing for schools too, because we know our teachers, they have a very, very important job educating our youth. So what we're trying to do is make sure we make it seamless for them. Just make mm-hmm. sure they can keep teaching the kids and they don't have to worry about that.
And you can work on any cell phone, right? Any type, BlackBerry, iPhone, Samsung, whatever it may be.
Anything.
And you can do all kinds of repairs?
Yes, sir.
And even the ones you can't do, how do you handle that? Do you send that back to the manufacturer, or do you just offer some other kind of rebates to the user?
What we do is, if we can't fix something, we do also sell refurbished phones that we bought off of people and just brought them back up to working order. Those usually come with a good 6-month warranty mm-hmm. on them. So if somebody's phone is completely fried because they dropped it in the sink or something like that, because they were trying to play music while they were washing their dishes,
yes,
we can always offer to try and do a data transfer for them so that, once again, it's seamless for them. They can walk out the door with something that's working that they mm-hmm. can go ahead and keep using every day.
That's great. So people can buy phones there as well. What other services may you offer the consumer over there at CPR?
Like I just mentioned, we do the data transfers. So if you have a phone and you buy a new phone, but you have problems transferring the data because it's a Droid to an Apple phone, mm-hmm. we can do that for you. We also unlock phones. We can replace any and all parts on phones. Our unlocking actually also goes across the board to like international phones. So you can take some T-Mobile phones and unlock them for international use. So people who are traveling outside mm-hmm. the country, we try and help them out. What else do we do? We do everything. I mean, we sell cases, we sell screen protectors. We try and make sure that our customer is taken care of fully so they don't have to necessarily come back to us anytime soon. But if they do, we have 6-month warranties on a lot of our parts.
Oh, that's great.
And stuff like that. So
yeah, people can get a peace of mind knowing that the work's doing correctly. And then if it, for whatever reason, doesn't hold up, you can come back and still have it under warranty over
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
So you can get all those services and more. If you need more information about their organization, go to cpr-atlanta.com. Also find them on Facebook, facebook.com/cellphonerepairatlanta for more information about what services they offer. So as we mentioned before we went to air, there's other organizations out there doing this, other businesses that have been popping up over the last few years, although CPR has been doing it for a long time now, probably one of the most trusted and respected in the industry. But what separates you from the competition out there?
What I've noticed is we've heard a lot of stories about how someone will bring something back in after it stops working once they've gotten it fixed. And the customer service is just a little bit lower. People don't want to go back and fix things that people are saying they've made a mistake on.
Right.
We can own up to that. If we make a mistake, we're going to fix it for you. We can accept that. Our pride is not too big. And we just want to make sure that our customers are happy. Mm-hmm. When you walk out the door, we want you to be excited and happy and your life to be a little bit less stressful because we've helped you out.
Yeah. And recommend them your services to friends and family or coworkers.
Exactly. We want to do that too. But yeah. First and foremost, we want you to be happy.
Right. So it starts with the customer service and the different locations. And so from a marketing perspective, what are some of the themes you're putting together to get the word out to let people know these stores are out there and available for them?
Well, like you just talked about referring people to family and friends, we're actually working on two different projects right now. I am heading up a street team. So we're offering it up to like college kids or high school kids that want to just tell their friends and family about it. We're offering a compensation for each flyer that they bring in.
So you're a street team. You're going to go hit the streets of Atlanta, start passing out flyers, be at different events and rallies and let people know that you're out there.
Exactly. Yeah. We want the actual consumer to know that other consumers trust us. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to put together a good street team and get the people that actually believe in us to keep telling people about us.
That's some great grassroots marketing efforts that you can do. Doesn't cost a lot of money, but certainly effort will point you in the right direction. But you got to continually market yourself in a way to let people know you are there.
Yeah.
And so street team is one way to do that. Any other things in 2016 that you guys are putting together?
Right now, any and all corporations that we're working with, as long as they refer us to a new client or a new customer, we're doing referral credits on their account too. So those big corporations like TBS or the Epstein School or the mm-hmm. other places that we work with, when they refer us to about 5 different people, they get 25% off of their next order.
Oh, that's great. So kind of paying it forward, you know, recommend us, we'll help you out there. So, but just again, mentioning 2016, we got the whole year ahead of us, you know, probably some big goals for you and the team over there at CPR Atlanta. What are some projects or initiatives you're looking to forward to in 2016?
We actually already started in 2015, probably the last month of 2015, but we're starting to refurbish our own parts. So right now, cell phone parts coming overseas from other places are a little bit expensive. we've found a way to basically build a part off of a broken part and make it working 100%. And we're actually doing that in store right now. So we're refurbishing parts and we're going to drop prices in the market for it.
Okay.
So, for example, an iPhone 6 screen is about $160 when you buy it from overseas. Right now, we can actually drop our prices down to $125 because we're making them in our store.
You're making the cell phone screens.
Yes.
That's incredible. So you must have a team of engineers or who's working on these projects for you?
Actually, my wonderfully talented fiance.
Okay. So he's the brains and the brawn behind the operation.
He is the brains and the brawn. He and his brother have just done an amazing job of building this company from the ground up, along with their father, who, like I said, was the one who helped them build this business. But really, feet on the ground, they're in the stores every day making sure that things are being run correctly and that everyone knows how to do absolutely everything that needs to be done.
Right. And this day and age, technology is advancing so quickly. How do you stay ahead of the cutting edge and up to date on what's the latest and greatest in cell phones out there?
I actually run our blog, too, so I do a lot of research for everybody. But whenever something new comes out, either Mike or Cody's already on top of it. They'll buy something and they'll take it apart and put it back together and make sure they know how it works. Mm-hmm. They're those kids that took apart like their toys
right.
and never lost a part and were able to put it back together better than it was before. So,
well, we know on the horizon in technology, we heard a lot about it in 2015 here in the Business Radio X studios, is the wearables coming into the lifestyle. Are you going to be able to offer any services along those lines?
Well, we are actually looking into that. I've got actually
look at
little
that.
Fitbit
yeah.
Surge.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got an Apple
Landel's
Watch.
Landel's got one as well. Yep.
We have worked on the Apple Watch already, and we have done really well with it so far. We had someone who cracked the screen on it, and mm-hmm. I think we were able to replace
that's
it.
That's great. Because that's a market segment that's growing, and you've got to stay ahead of the curve to be able to provide those services as you already are. Because cell phones, that's just one little segment of it all. And what about tablets? Can you repair tablets for people?
Absolutely. We do a lot of tablet repairs for a lot of the schools because they use it in their interactive teaching now.
Mm-hmm.
So we pick up tablets, and usually it's the screen. Because, you know,
right.
kids with the screens, I've seen kids step on them, drop them straight face flat on the floor. And yeah, we do a lot of tablet repair. We can do some laptop repairs.
Okay.
We work mostly on, we do pretty much all the laptops. I think I've seen a little bit of everything there. So
laptops, tablets, cell phones of all kinds.
Game systems.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I wasn't aware of that. So that can be repaired at Cell Phone Repair Atlanta.
Yeah, we should really be called electronics repair.
Offer a lot of different services there, as well as accessories and different data transfers and some of that technology as well. So, I think that the Consumer Electronic Show is going on in Las Vegas this week as we speak. So there's going to be some big announcements, some new technology, on the horizon here in 2016. So we've got to stay up to date and we've got to be able to repair those technologies as they break because our life depends on them so much these days. And so for you, you probably carry a cell phone, right? Do you go out extra carefully because you know what can happen to you? You see broken phones all the time. Are you extra careful with your phone?
To be completely honest, no. I think
you don't have a cracked screen, do you?
No, I don't. I have an OtterBox though. I'm really bad with my electronics. I think when I first met Mike in 6 months, I went through 9 different phones.
Oh my gosh.
It was ridiculous. But I'm so much better now. I've had the same phone for 2 years, so I'm good. And I haven't had to fix it either.
Right, and having a case that can handle anything that life throws at you probably helps as well.
And I know a lot of people are worried about bulky cases because the whole point of getting a cell phone is to have something small and compact that you can carry in your pocket. But honestly, to invest in a case is one of the best options you can have. Or even at least a glass screen protector. We sell those too. And they're just like an extra sheet of glass on top of the screen. And I've dropped my phone before with one of those on and it just broke the glass screen protector mm-hmm. instead of the screen, which is the difference of $20 and $100.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So here in Atlanta, more cell phones to come, more stores, you said maybe on the horizon for Cell Phone Repair Atlanta. If folks want to find out more information about you now, how could they do so?
Like you said, they can go to cpr-atlanta.com. We have an interactive website there and also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/cellphonerepairatlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And also just come into one of our stores. Come on by. We'd love to talk to people. We love to get people's information and be able to learn a little bit more about what our consumers want from us. So,
yes, certainly. Check out their websites, www.cpr-atlanta.com. Look for the location nearest you. Go in, say hello, get your cell phone repaired, and you won't be disappointed because it's affordable. And you said customer service is through the roof over there.
Yes, it is.
Very good. So, I'd just like to ask you one last question, as we always do here on Atlanta Business Radio. When you're not changing the world of cell phone repair and helping people, what do you like to do in your off time here in Atlanta?
I'm actually a runner.
Okay.
So
avid. You do 5Ks, marathons. What do you like to do?
5Ks, 10Ks are my favorite.
Nice.
I did a half marathon in Chicago in September, and every year I do at least like one or two half marathons.
Anything on your calendar coming up soon?
I was supposed to go to the Star Wars half marathon this weekend, but unfortunately I can't make
okay.
it. But in the future, yeah, I do a lot of charity runs. So any big run I do is for charity.
Nice. So if we can help you out, further your mission of CPR Atlanta here on Atlanta Business Radio, please let us know. Or if you've got a new 5K personal record you want to share with our listeners, come on back and let us know. So listeners, if you want to find Sarah Gibson, you can find her at Cell Phone Pair Atlanta or jogging around the Greenway or somewhere here locally on the weekend. So thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us. Please stick around as we now turn our attention to Mr. Landell Hobbs.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
All right, my pleasure. All right, Landell Hobbs is the chairman of National 4-H Council Board of Trustees. Prior to that, he held a job as CEO and CEO of companies Time Warner Cable and Turner Broadcasting Company. So he's here today, though, to talk about the 4-H and the 4-H Council and how they're changing the lives of youth out there all across the country. So let's begin to how did you first get exposed to the 4-H Club?
You know, it actually goes back to my time with the Time Warner family. And that, you know, as most large companies do, we were looking for, one, identifying what our philanthropic interest was for us and our employees. And being Time Warner Cable at the time, technology was so important. And what we were seeing was a lack of qualified engineers, right? So we see, as we look out on the horizon, we saw a lack of people coming out of schools with engineering degrees, and that's kind of what we thrived on. Mm-hmm. So as we started to look around and said, well, how can we help with this and how can we support, right, finding quality engineers? We started saying, well, wait a minute, this problem is much more pervasive. We actually have to start young. And so we're also big supporters of STEM.
Yes.
So through that, we started identifying organizations that we thought would help that process. And 4-H came to the top, which was surprising because 4-H, for most people, when you say it, they think agriculture.
Right. They think rural communities.
That's exactly right. And that is no longer the case. Actually, 55% of the kids that we support and work with now are in urban and suburban settings, not rural. So you can tell that demographics are changing. But they have a huge science program. That's what initially got me interested in 4-H, mm-hmm. was that fact.
I did not know they had a science program, a way to keep kids engaged at a very young age in the new ever-evolving science and technology arena.
It really is. If you look at their programs, a lot of different things they offer, of course, around citizenship, around agriculture still, but a lot now around robotics, rocketry, right? So hardcore science. And we actually, every year, we have a National Science Day, where we engage kids across the country. They do a tremendous number of science projects. So it's a huge science focus. And the surprising thing there, as well, is it's boys and girls.
Right.
So we have a huge population of females. And again, female engineers are virtually non-existent.
Right.
Right. So that was another one of the things that really attracted me to this organization. Mm-hmm.
We've heard a few times here on the Business Radio X Network that girls and guys at a young age are often excited about science and technology, but at some point, the guys continue to stay excited, but the girls grow on to do different things. But keeping them engaged from a young age on is super important. How early can a young child get involved with 4-H?
You know, typically our age spans from somewhere around what I'll call the upper end of elementary school, then all the way up through, we have clubs all the way up through college.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, we have a broad span of what we offer. Mm-hmm. And because of what we do and we offer programs, they can be tailored. So we can engage kids from very young age all the way up through the college level.
And that would be the ideal situation, is get them involved very young, keep them excited. And as they grow and develop, the type of programs that the 4-H has for them can change as well.
It really does. And what's powerful about 4-H too is that, because again, we touch and work with 6 million kids, is our delivery mechanism is incredible. Or just a little background on 4-H itself.
Okay.
It's actually made up of three parts. And this is also fascinating in that I work for 4-H Council, which is primarily where we bring together three parts. One part is the Department of Agriculture. The other part is the land grant universities and something they call cooperative extension, and then private companies. Mm-hmm. Those three parties come together at 4-H Council. And what's great about 4-H, the reason it's been around for north of 100 years, is because of that delivery mechanism through those land grant universities, right? We actually have one professional employees around 3,000 nationwide, and then we have 500,000 volunteers. So you can see we've got a powerful delivery mechanism to reach these kids and keep them engaged.
No.
And that's one of the most important things is, as you guys and most of your listeners know, the most important impact on kids is having an adult, a caring adult who's interested in what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we deliver.
Right. A supportive adult who can not only help guide them through, but then, you know, encourage them to continue on that road of success with the 4-H. And as you mentioned, nearly 6 million kids in every county across America are involved with the 4-H Council, and it's America's largest youth development organization. What do the 4-H's stand for?
It's interesting. They stand for head, heart, hands, and health.
Okay.
Right. And if you remember the logo, and almost everyone can remember the clover.
Leaf, yeah.
Right. The four clover, and there's H's on each clover.
Okay.
But that's what it stands for. And those are a lot of our programs that we deliver. And again, we deliver programs in school and after school. Mm-hmm. So we have enrichment programs. So we have a lot of different delivery mechanisms to reach kids. But you're right. A lot of it focuses around those four H's.
Right. And everybody always assumed it was agricultural or rural, do some husbandry with some animals.
It's interesting. It was. And the reason it was is kind of the same thing or the same reason it's focused on science today is that 100 years ago, what was important in the U.S.? Agriculture.
That's right.
Right. And what we found was that, and everyone also knows this, I mean, kids are always the future. Universities and the government saw that they needed to improve crop yields, right? And the best way to do that was to engage kids.
Yeah, right? Get them young.
Get
right?
them young.
Yeah, right.
Talk to them about agriculture and how they produce better crops, more crops. That's where it started. Mm. So you can kind of see, as things have changed over 100 years, we're still doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. We look at this country and we say, wow, science, STEM, that's what we're lacking. So see, all we've done is shifted the focus, but basically do the same thing. Because at its core, what we do is we empower young people with the skills to lead.
Right.
And that's really what we do.
Right. And so whatever your core focus of that skill you're learning, you're also learning leadership, you're learning teamwork, you're building confidence in yourself. So as you grow and develop as a person and maybe go into a corporate career, all these skills at the 4-H can help you evolve into that.
They do. You know, one of the first things I attended when I first started was a gala that was in D.C. And the first thing you notice about these kids is you walk in, because they have kids attend these galas, right, to meet you at the door. They're in the program. And it's amazing to see kids, young kids, who, mm-hmm. one, look you in the eye, shake your hand, carry on a conversation. The amount of self-confidence is incredible. And you immediately say, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right. You know, this is incredible. This is so distinctly different from what we're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. And as a business person, you say, wow, how do I get involved in this? Because this is what we're looking for. Right. Yeah. As we move forward and we start looking for people to hire.
Well, that's good. So let's get into that. What is important for you, Lando Hobbs, to be involved with this? Is it touching the youth of America, you know, grooming them to be the next corporate leaders, or what resonates with you personally?
You know, it's all of the above. I've left Time Warner. I have my own consulting company. But of course, originally it was one, we were supporting STEM engineering. So that was always a focus of mine. Kids, though, has always been a focus. So even now that I'm off and I have my own company, my focus areas are two. It's actually around children, mm-hmm. and again, around STEM and leadership. And so that's what attracted me to this. And that's the reason I'm still involved, is because I firmly believe that, as we all should, that kids are the future and we have to stay focused there. And right now, I'd like to give you some statistics, if you'll
please
bear with
do. Yes.
This is one of the reasons that I think 4-H is so important. And some of these are pretty incredible. So, you know, as of today, 66% of U.S. youth are not proficient in reading by fourth grade. 33% are overweight or obese. Half of youth in grades 4 to 12 reported being bullied by other students at school. And for the first time in the last 50 years, the majority of U.S. public school students are living in poverty. Those are statistics that are just shocking. And then you jump up to what employers say, and this is half of all high school students, this is what they say, are not prepared for life after high school, for college or career.
50%.
Half of all high school students say that when they're asked.
Yeah.
14%, only 14% of Americans, only 11% of business leaders agree that college graduates are ready for the workforce, right? And so when you look at that, you say, wow, we have got to do something to fill that. And 4-H fills that because what they learn is leadership, resiliency, flexibility, teamwork, all those skills that I think are not out there today is what 4-H teaches you. And those statistics scream. Yeah. We have to fill that. We have to correct that situation.
No, those statistics are very eye-opening. Thank you for sharing those. And certainly we need to continue to support organizations like the 4-H. And if you want to, you can go to their website, 4-H.org. Also, you can follow them on Twitter at 4-H. It's a great Twitter handle, by the way. That's number 4, letter H. And so we're talking about the future of America. We're talking about the future of business leaders, making sure that kids today are learning how important it is to learn these skills, not only the science and technology of it all, but like you said, the soft skills of leadership and teamwork and confidence. What are some of these things in 2016 that you have on your radar that are some big moments for you and the 4-H Council?
As we look forward in 2016, we're working on a couple of things. And 4-H Council, the private company part of it, this is where we really help. One is we're taking a hard look at the brand itself, right? Because again, most people think of us as only agricultural based. That's not the case.
Right.
So this year we'll be rolling out kind of what I'll call a brand refresh or essence change.
Yes.
That will bring it into the current, but focused on what it does for leadership for kids. Mm-hmm. We have a national spokesperson, which we're going to announce in the early spring.
All right.
Right. And also what we're trying to do then is activate our 25 million alumni.
Yeah, and that's a huge base that you can get together.
It is, but it's been going on for so long. Today, as we sit here, we don't have a way to activate or get in touch with 25 million people. But we're trying to reach out and activate that so we can basically push the movement from touching 6 million kids to move to 10 million kids.
Right.
Right, and there's 53 million kids in high school or in school that we can affect. We're going to move from 6 to 10 million. Those are our goals in 2016.
That's a great goal to have, and we can support your mission here at Business Radio X. Please let us know. We'd be happy to do so. So if you're a listener out there, one of those 25 million past members, and you want to get back involved with 4-H, reach out, and you can do so, because they're looking for more participation from some of those members from the past. So this project or this whole organization kind of runs so deep and crosses so many different sections of society. But who are these kids particularly? You mentioned the urban areas. Are you trying to reach them more so than perhaps more of these affluent suburban kids?
Both. You know, of course, if we look at demographics, everyone's moving more and more into urban settings, right? And so if you look at what's happening there, we have to focus there. So one, we'll have a much bigger focus on urban, which means we have to tailor our programming. Two, we have to do a much better job in the Hispanic community because of what's happening with those demographics. So absolutely, we're trying to, one, stay true to our roots where we still do agricultural, but also then shift more and more to STEM and then tailor that to urban situations. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things we're trying to do to capture these kids. And again, through the land-grant universities and their extension, we're all three, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, private companies, and land-grant universities are all focused on this together. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're going to be very successful.
Do you need more business leaders to get involved who are not currently, and how would they go about doing that?
Absolutely. And you're right. There's so many alumni. What's amazing is I run into business leaders all the time who said, I was in 4-H, right? So to the extent you're a business leader out there and you were in 4-H, please reach out to us because we need to do this private-public partnerships, and we can definitely help businesses. And it's time for those alumni to reactivate because it's such a powerful, powerful organization.
And there's so many ways to get involved in giving back, whether it's through science, through technology, through the creative arts.
Talk
a little bit about that portion.
Well, you're right. It's not just science. It's not just agriculture. We do a lot of healthy living. So we focus on health, right? Staying active, food, right? And diet. We focus on the arts because remember, leadership skills, they've not changed over 100 years, really, right? You've got to be broad-based. And we see this kind of focus towards myopic specialization in today's
right.
world. We need people who can move across. We need those broad-based leadership skills. And so the more stuff that you've been involved in, the stronger leader you are. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, creative arts are just as important as the science.
Right. It makes you a good citizen, makes you a good steward of the community, a good business leader, will help you expand and grow professionally for sure. So these children, when they go, do they usually go to these, when you get involved, is it a meeting at the school once a week, once a month? Walk us through some of the programs and where they go and how often.
Absolutely. It's because we're trying to reach kids, we offer a whole set of different ways to get. So some are after school enrichment, some are in school. Typically, it's clubs that will meet once a week, once a month, depending. It'll be tailored to that group of kids. and also tethered to what the volunteer can do, as well as if there's a professional extension employee involved. But yes, it's pretty flexible. So if you reach out through the websites we've given you, we can line you up with how you can get involved. And for a nonprofit, I'm also going to read you one more set of statistics, because for the business people listening, particularly when they think about nonprofits, they say, that sounds great, but show me, right? Show me.
Yeah, I want to see some numbers.
Yeah, show me the money.
Yeah.
Well, we actually did, because 4-H has been around so long, we have the luxury of doing this. We had Tufts University do a longitudinal study, a 10-year longitudinal study of 4-H kids. Here's what the impact was. They were 2 times more likely to make healthy decisions. They were 2 times more likely than their peers to pursue STEM opportunities, 4 times more likely to give back to their communities, and girls were 3 times more likely to stay involved in science than their peers. So you can see we have a demonstrable, factual basis on what it does.
Yeah, very positive results of all the good work that you're doing there. That's good to put it on paper so people can see and kind of put their eyes and ears around it. So definitely thank you for sharing that for sure. What does it look like here in the Atlanta area?
You know, in Atlanta, there is actually, because of UGA, which is one of the most powerful land-grant universities in the Cooperative Extension Program, Georgia is a very powerful 4-H state.
Okay.
We basically deal with 180,000 kids in the state of Georgia. So there's chapters all across Georgia. There's actually several in Atlanta, one in Buckhead, right? So there's all over. But through UGA is where a lot of this is facilitated. And again, they do a tremendous number of things for the kids in the state of Georgia.
And do if kids want to sign up, is there membership dues for the kids? How does it work like that?
No.
No membership?
Nope.
Well, then how does 4-H generate revenue?
It is really a couple of different ways. It is because we were born out of the Department of Agriculture and land-grant universities, there's funding from the federal government. Mm-hmm. That's one way, which flows from the federal government to the land-grant universities, then from the land-grant universities into the 4-H Cooperative Extension Program. States also raise money from private companies, and then that is one of our primary roles as the private company part of the 4-H, the three-legged stool, as I call it.
Yep.
We raise money to also, to enable programs and then work with universities to facilitate it.
So
there's a number of ways to raise money, but typically not from the kids.
Right. Right. That's good to know. And so if you're a company or organization out there was looking to get involved, and part of your 2016 is goals are to give back, the 4-H Council is a great way to give back and get involved.
That's right.
So whether you're an individual or an organization, because donations are appreciated. What about volunteer opportunities? You mentioned that a minute ago, and you have hundreds of thousands of them. How would one go about getting a volunteer?
Through reaching out to those same websites we've given you, you can enter into and engage around the volunteer opportunity. Now, I will tell you that this is one where you actually have to go through the program, learn what to do. The good thing about this is programmatically, we deliver a lot of the programs. So we'll give you a template. So whether it's a rocketry course or we can deliver that programmatic content material to help you as a volunteer. Then, again, unlike some nonprofit or youth-oriented organizations, you're not just kind of out there on your own. You can reach out to an actual employee of a cooperative extension land-grant university who's a professional at this, right? So you have a fallback to go to someone and say, well, what do I do in this situation, right? So as a volunteer, it's very good because, one, you have programs, they give you templates. And then you also have someone you can talk to at any point in time to say, well, how do I handle this situation? Or my kids are interested in this type of program. Do we have some kind of template for that?
Yeah, that's great. And what about getting involved with groups of youth through a Boy Scout club or through a whole, or is it strictly an individual basis?
Well, again, the way we deliver this content to kids is through these after-school enrichment or in-school, but also mostly it's through clubs.
Right.
Right. So you have a club or group of 4-H kids. And then within that club, then you decide you may do group projects or you may do individual projects like public speaking or citizenry, right? So there's a lot of things that they do mostly on a group basis. You're always working with other kids.
Right, and that's part of the teamwork element of it all, learning how to get along and work well with others, which I'm sure you experienced through your many years of leadership at different organizations like Time Warner and Turner Broadcasting. What were some of those life skills that you learned, in the corporate world that you're now able to bring to the 4-H Council and the leadership team over there?
I think it was a really good understanding of what was missing out there in the workforce, right? So because you're right, I worked for companies primarily in the entertainment industry for so long, and I did a lot of recruiting. And again, what you found is you would have kids coming out of universities who were very good from a specialized standpoint, but they really didn't have a lot of leadership abilities. And they didn't have a lot of what I'll call common knowledge or good common sense. Right. And so I always saw that as a weakness. And then when I got involved with 4-H, it was like, you know, the light bulb goes on. Wow, they're delivering that.
Yes.
They're fixing the problem that I, as a businessman, saw. Right. So that's the reason it's so important. And as I was going through my career, you always looked for that, right? It wasn't always necessarily the person who looked the best on paper. It was the person who had great work ethic, mm-hmm. who worked well with other people, right? Who could engender and form teams. Those are the kind of skills people really look for.
Yes.
Right? And that's what we are trying to deliver. So I think I bring that perspective to 4-H because, you know, that way we as businesses can tell land-grant universities and the Department of Agriculture, no. This is what we need.
Right.
Right? Coming from business people, right? And then we can align our programs, you know, appropriately.
And that's all good stuff there. And it sounds like you're the right man and the right time for the right position over there at 4-H with all your past experience, where the 4-H is heading in the future and with America's youth, as some of the statistics you mentioned a minute ago are not on track as they should be. So you're teaching those life skills, those soft skills that they can piggyback on those technical skills that they may be learning in the classroom or the 4-H Council itself. To make sure America, you know, continues to head in the right direction. So looking for more children to get involved, looking for more volunteers, looking for more donations, just hopefully getting the word out there to more people. And like you said, a kind of a new branding of 4-H in 2016. And so people can look to the website, www.4-h.org for more information there, and Twitter at 4-H. And I'm sure you're on Facebook as well. People can find you there. So I mean, the future of America depends on the youth, and it's good to know a guy like you in this position and with an organization that's been over 100 years strong is continuing the good mission for sure. So we encourage our listeners to get out there, get signed up, get involved, and start to give back for sure. So I'd love to ask you as well, how can people find you outside of those website channels or LinkedIn perhaps? How can people connect?
Yeah, you can definitely find me on LinkedIn just because of my company, LCH Enterprises, LLC, consulting in the telecom, media, and telecommunications space. But that's a way to get in touch with me.
Okay.
The easiest way.
Yep. Right. And so we will have that all on our website. So you can find that there, links to that there. If you want to connect with Mr. Hobbs and his company, or want to ask him questions about the 4-H Council and how they can get involved for sure. And one last question before we get out, what do you like to do here in Atlanta in your off time to stay inspired or stay motivated?
Well, I have three young daughters.
Okay.
So I have a 13-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 7-year-old. So you need not ask what I do as hobbies.
Not much off time, I guess.
I'm mostly running carpools or running between soccer, gymnastics, swimming, or ballet. You name it. That's
okay.
What I do, and I love every second of it.
I bet you do, and you look forward to the weekends with the girls. And so thank you so much for joining us here today. If we can help you further the mission, please let us know. We're always here helping to get the word out about organizations like the 4-H Council. Thank you, Mr. Landell Hobbs, for joining us.
No, thank you for having me this morning.
All right. So listeners, reminder as well to follow us on Twitter at Business Radio X. You can also follow me personally at Ryan Redhawk. All tweets and comments are welcomed there. So if your company is out there doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the website, businessradiox.com, and pitch us your story. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor, and on behalf the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.